من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Sharh Sunnah of Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. And last time we had point number 110, and it was a point with regard to al-bid'ah, innovation, and the plural al-bid'ah, innovations and innovative sects. So Shaykh al-Fawzan hafidhahullah, he gave a definition of innovation and bid'ah, which is that an innovation, a bid'ah, is that which is introduced into the religion and which does not have a proof from the book nor from the sunnah, and that which the people do seeking by means of it to draw closer to Allah. In other words, they do the action intending worship by it, intending to get reward by doing that action. Something newly introduced which does not have a proof in the book or the sunnah, then that is a bid'ah, innovation. And Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned the point that innovations are of two types: asliya, a fundamental innovation, and bid'ah idafiyya, a supplementary innovation. And the difference between the two is that a bid'ah asliya is an act of worship which is not legislated at all in Islam, an action that there is no proof for that action at all in the book or the sunnah as an act of worship. The action itself is a new act introduced into Islam by which people intend to gain reward. That is a bid'ah asliya, fundamental innovation. And then the second category, which is far more widespread and far more common, is the bid'ah idafiyya, an action that is in its basis something legislative, for example fasting or dhikr, words of remembrance of Allah, or prayer, salah, so on and so forth. In the origin, the action is legislated, however in the way that it's being done is not legislated. That they innovate a new manner of doing it, they lay down a certain number for it, this number here, that's not legislated, or a certain time for it to be done, which is not a legislated time for it. And so on and so forth. So the action itself is legislated, fasting, dhikr of Allah, so on and so forth. But they've made a specification for it, which is not something legislated. Certain number, certain time, a certain form, which is not legislated. And that is by far and above the majority of the innovations of that second category, bid'ah idafiyya. As a side point, that's when the people of those innovations, when they try and defend it, they say, look, this, what's wrong with fasting? We specify this certain day here, there's a special day for fasting. What's wrong with fasting? Fasting is legislated in Islam. You can't criticise us. Or dhikr, what's wrong with dhikr? We get together and we do dhikr. What's wrong with dhikr is something recommended. However, the innovation is not the act of worship itself, it's how they're doing it, where they've specified it, the certain number, which is not legislated, and so on and so forth. So, bid'ah idafiyya. And the evidence that all of these innovations of both categories, there is no good in them, as the Sheikh said, is the evidence for that is all those hadith from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against innovations. And the saying of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, whoever introduces into this affair of ours that which is not from it, then it will be rejected. Likewise, Sheikh al-Fawzan mentions that the people of innovations, they have a resemblance to the Christians, those who innovated acts of worship, such as monasticism. Then came the major point of the lesson, which was that the roots of all the innovated sects, the firq, the deviant and innovated sects, in origin they all go back to four original sects. And Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned them and then broke them down. So firstly, the first of the major innovated sects from which their offshoots came, firstly of the four were the Shia. And as Sheikh Fawzan said, the Shia, those who had extra partisanship towards Ali radiallahu anhu, as they claimed. So Sheikh Fawzan mentioned that they first appeared after the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And they came about from Abdullah ibn Sabah, who was a Jew, by religion he was a Jew, and he pretended to be a Muslim. And he sought to undermine Islam from within. And he called the people, amongst what he did, he called the people to partisanship towards Ali radiallahu anhu, over and above the other companions. So Sheikh Fawzan mentions that the Shia, that's how they started off, there came to be a number of sects. So from these sects, firstly, the first of them were the Mufaddila, those who had an undue preference towards Ali radiallahu anhu. They preferred him over even companions who were better than him, had more excellence than him. Obviously Ali radiallahu anhu had the great excellence, he was a noble companion radiallahu anhu. However, they even preferred him over Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhu. So they preferred Ali over all the other companions, and they were called Al-Mufaddila. However, they didn't accuse the Khilafah of the first three. They didn't make any accusation and say that Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman were wrongful in being the Khalifa. They didn't make any such statement. They accepted the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, radiallahu anhum, but they just preferred, with regard to the aspect of virtue, Ali, radiallahu anhum. And the Sheikh of Fawzan said, even this is an error. It's an error, a mistake. The second group of the Shia were those who stated that Ali, radiallahu anhum, he was the wasi. He was the stated successor of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed away, he had stated that his successor was to be Ali. And of course, what happened after the passing of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr became the Khalifa, and then Umar, and then Uthman, and then fourthly, Ali, radiallahu anhu. So they say, these people, the second group of the Shia, that those companions, the companions, they oppressed Ali. They took the Khilafah from him and gave it to those who did not deserve it. The third group, the Sheikh mentioned, were amongst the Shia, were the extremists, those even more extreme. Those who claimed something even further. They claimed that messengership, Risala, that should have gone to Ali radiallahu anhu as well. It should not have gone to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It should have gone to Ali radiallahu anhu. He should have been the messenger, and that Jibreel was sent with the messengership to take it to Ali. But he betrayed his trust and gave it instead to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the rest of their evil and their deviation. Then the fourth group amongst the Shia were those who went to the extreme that they declared that Ali was one who should be worshipped. He actually appeared in the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, and they actually stated that to his face, that he was the one whom they worshipped. And that's where we had the lines of poetry, which I didn't translate, just to mention again then as I translate, which I didn't do, that Ali radiallahu anhu mentioned, لما رأيت الأمر أمرا منكرا أججت ناري ودعوت قنبرا. That when I saw the affair was a very evil affair, then I ignited my fire and I called for Qanbar. Qanbar being his servant. I mean, he called for his servant Qanbar to get these trenches which had been prepared, to fill them with wood, light the wood, and throw these people. When these people refused to give up on their saying that Ali, you are the one to be worshipped, and to throw them into the fire. So that was the fourth group of the Shia, those who declared that Ali was to be worshipped. Then the second major sect, onto the second major sect, after the four, it was the Qadariyya. Those who had innovated sayings with regard to Al-Qadr, pre-decree. And Sheikh Fawzan said, and they were two opposite extreme groups. He mentioned that they were the Jabariyya, those who went to extremes in affirming pre-decree. They affirmed that Allah has pre-decreed all affairs, but they went to extreme, beyond the limits, to the extent that they said man is compelled upon his deeds. A person has no free will, no choice. Whatever he does, he's because he's forced to do it. But he has no free will, no ability to have free will. And in reality, he doesn't actually perform any deeds. He just does things like a robot. The doer of his deeds is actually Allah, not the person himself. He's not actually the doer of his deeds in reality. And the opposite extreme to them, from the Qadariyah, were the Qadariyah and Nufat, the ones who are usually called the Qadariyah, the deniers of the Trinity. As Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning the Mu'tazila, usually meaning the Mu'tazila. Those who denied free will, or rather, those who affirm with regard to a person went to the other extreme level. They said that a man has free will upon his deeds. He can do what he wants. And his free will is not limited by the will of Allah. That was the deniers, the Qadariyah and Nufa, the deniers of what's correct with regard to free will and pre-decree. Then who were basically the Mu'tazila. And they said a man acts by his own free will and he creates his own deeds. Allah is not the creator of his deeds, he creates his own deeds. As for the third major sect from the four, then they were the Khawarij. The Khawarij. And Sheikh Fawzan summarized with regard to them that they rebel against the Muslim rulers and split the unity of obedience to the ruler, single ruler. They declare Muslims to be disbelievers on account of major sins, which are less than shirk, and they declared the blood of the Muslims to be lawful to spill. And he said that the Khawarij, they were people who were upon worship, but they went to beyond limits, they went beyond the due limits, became extreme. And in the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, they rebelled against Ali radiallahu anhu, and Allah gave him victory against them, the first Khawarij. And they are also known as the Wa'idiyya, those who enforce the textual threats. Wherever there is a textual threat upon a certain sin, then they enforce that threat and say it has to happen, it must happen. Wherever there's a threat that whoever does such and such, then there is a hellfire for him, they declare that he must be punished with the fire. Then the fourth major sect, as Sheikh Fawzan made clear, were the opposite of the Khawarij, the Murji'ah. Those who take actions out of Iman. They say actions are not within Iman. So they say that even without any actions whatsoever, a person will still be a perfect believer. If he's a believer, then he will still be a perfect believer even with no actions. And Sheikh Fawzan mentioned that he mentioned four categories of the Murji'ah. Firstly, the worst of them were the Jahmiyyah. The Jahmiyyah. Jahm ibn Safwan and his followers, the Jahmiyyah, who said that Iman is just ma'rifah. It's just to have awareness in your heart. To have awareness of your creator in your heart, that's it. You're a perfect believer, in their view. The second of the sects of the Murji'ah were the Ash'aris, who held that Iman, belief, is just belief in the heart alone. A belief in the heart. And they excluded the saying of the tongue from that. That it's not necessary to be a believer that a person says it upon his tongue. And they also excluded actions of the limbs. The third category of the Murji'ah, the Sheikh mentioned, were the Karamiyyah. Those who said Iman is just that which is upon the tongue. The person mentions the Shahada upon his tongue, that is Iman with them. Not even without in belief in the heart, so that's sufficient with them. And the fourth and last category of the Murji'ah, with the Sheikh mentioned, were the Murji'ah al-Fuqaha, the Murji'ah of the jurists, amongst the jurists. And the Sheikh mentioned they are the ones who held that Iman is belief in the heart and the utterance of it upon the tongue, but they excluded action from it. And then he mentioned what is correct, being the position of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, that they, the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, they gather both sets of texts where there is a mention of a promise of paradise along with threats of punishment. They gather and accept both, and they bring them both together. And they say that Iman is belief of the heart, speech upon the tongue, and action of the limbs. And that Iman increases through acts of obedience to Allah and decreases through acts of disobedience to Allah. However, Iman does not pass away totally if an action is left. An action of Iman, an obligatory action, is left. If it is left, they don't say totally and unrestrictedly that Iman, all of it, passes away. As is said by the Khawarij, if an obligatory action is left, abandoned, that all of the Iman passes away. People for some reason do not say that, unrestrictedly. In any obligatory action, if it's left, Iman passes away. That is not the saying of the Ahl al-Sunnah, it's the saying of the Khawarij. To say so unrestrictedly. Likewise, they say that major sins, the Ahl al-Sunnah say that the major sins, they do reduce Iman. And there are certain actions that if you miss them, all of the Iman passes away. Some actions. If they are left abandoned, then Iman passes away, but not all actions. And then finally, that all of the sects are destined for the fire, except for the one saved sect described by Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who are upon that which Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions were upon, they are the saved sect. And as for the rest of the sects, the rest of the 73, or the other 72, then they are destined for the fire. However, as the Sheikh said, Sheikh Fawzan, this doesn't mean that we say that they are disbelievers. All of them are disbelievers and will remain forever in the fire. It's not the case. Rather, there are some whose innovation is so severe that it is disbelief. Then they will be in the fire forever along with the disbelievers. And there are others whose innovation puts them along with the sinners who will be punished in the fire for a certain time. And then, remaining upon Islam, eventually they will be removed from the fire. As for the continuation, then, as what occurs here in the second volume on page 82, point number 111, then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَأَلَمْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ لَوْ وَقَفُوا عِنْدَ مُحْتَفَاتِ الْأُمُورِ وَلَمْ يَتَجَاوَزُوهَا بِشَيْءٍ وَلَمْ يُوَغِّدُوا كَلَامًا مِمَّا لَمْ يَجِئْ فِيهِ أَثَرٌ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَلَا عَنْ أَصْحَابِهِ لَمْ تَكُنْ بِدْعَةٌ. The Imam, rahmahullah, he said, and know that if the people were to withhold from the newly introduced affairs and did not enter into any of them, and they did not bring about any speech for which there was no narration from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor from his companions, then there would not be any innovation. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, وَأَلَمْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ لَوْ وَقَفُوا عِنْدَ مُحْتَفَاتِ الْأُمُورِ وَلَمْ يَتَجَاوَزُوهَا بِشَيْءٍ وَلَمْ يُوَلِّدُوا كَلَامًا مِمَّا لَمْ يَجِيء فِيهِ أَثَرٌ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَلَا عَنْ أَصْحَابِهِ لَمْ تَكُنْ بِدْعَةٌ. And know that if the people were to withhold from the newly introduced affairs and did not enter into any of them, and they did not bring about any speech for which there is no narration from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor from his companions, then there would not be any innovation. He said, if the people were to withhold from the newly introduced affairs, he said, it means if they were to withhold from them and they did not enter into them, and they limited themselves to the Sunnah, and they did not depart from it and go to innovations, then they would attain salvation. However, whoever goes beyond the Sunnah and introduces sayings which have no proof from the Book of Allah nor from the Sunnah of his Messenger, then he will be along with the innovators, along with the deviant sects. So there will be no salvation except through this Sunnah, upon which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us. He said, إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمْ مَا إِنْ تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَمْ تَضِلُّوا بَعْدِي كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِي. that he, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I am leaving amongst you that which if you cling on to it, you will never go astray after me. The book of Allah and my sunnah. In a footnote they mention that this is preceded in the first volume. And we had, as previously, that the hadith reported by Al-Hakim as a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and it was declared Hassan by Shaykh al-Albani in Al-Mishkat number 186. And there's also a wording from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma as well. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned a second hadith. He said, and in the other hadith, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَى لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have left you upon a clear white ground. Its night is just the same as its day. No one deviates from it except that he is destroyed. Again, I mentioned in a footnote this hadith, checking of it has preceded, and we had before the hadith reported by Imam Ahmad and also by Ibn Majah and Al-Hakim, and it's from a hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu anhu, and declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is the path of salvation, the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which he and his companions were upon. And it is what is contained in this book which we are reading. It is an explanation of this matter. In this book here, it is an explanation of this matter. Then Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah brings a further point that's numbered here as point number 112. He said rahimahullah, وَأَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَكُونَ مُؤْمِنًا حَتَّى يَصِيرَ كَافِرًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَجْحَدَ شَيْئًا مِمَّا أَنْزَلَهُ اللَّهُ أَوْ يَزِيدَ فِي كَلَامِ اللَّهِ أَوْ يَنْقُصْ أَوْ يُنْكِرَ شَيْئًا مِمَّا قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أو شيئا مما تكلم به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فاتق الله رحمك الله وانظر لنفسك وإياك والغلو في الدين فإنه ليس من طريق الحق في الشيء. He said رحمه الله, and know, and in some versions وَأَلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ, some of the versions of the book, he has a supplication there, and know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that there is nothing between a servant and his being a believer or his becoming a disbeliever, except that he denies something which Allah has sent down, or he adds to or takes away from the speech of Allah, or he denies anything which Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, or anything which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke with. So fear and be dutiful to Allah. May Allah have mercy upon you. Look to yourself and beware of exceeding the limits in the religion, for that is not from the way of truth at all. Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, وَأَلَمْ أَنْهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَكُونَ مُؤْمِنًا حَتَّى يَصِيرَ كَافِرًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَجْحَدَ شَيْئًا مِمَّا أَنْزَلَهُ اللَّهُ. And know that there is nothing between a servant and his being a believer, or his becoming a disbeliever, except that he denies something which Allah has sent down. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning that the nawaqidul Islam, those things which nullify a person's Islam, are many. A person may be a Muslim upon correct Islam, he may be a true believer, however, and Allah's refuge is sought, he may turn apostate from his religion by committing one of the things that nullify Islam, and they are many. They are gathered within four types. The nuaqid of Islam, those things that nullify and break a person's Islam, are gathered within four types of things. Sayings and actions and beliefs and doubts. Al-qawl, al-fi'l, wal-i'tiqad, wal-shak. Sayings, actions, beliefs and doubts. And then Sheikh Fawzan goes on to break down each one of these. He said, firstly, the first is al-qawl, sayings. Saying a word of disbelief. If he says a word of disbelief, not having been forced against his will, he's not mukrah, he's not being forced but compelled by somebody else to say it, against his will. So if he says a word of disbelief, and he not being forced against his will, then he becomes a disbeliever. He the Most High said, وَلَقَدْ قَالُوا كَلِمَةَ الْكُفْرِ وَكَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th Surah, Ayah 74. With the explanation, and they said the word of disbelief, and they became disbelievers after their Islam. And they said the saying of disbelief, and they became disbelievers after being upon Islam, after having been Muslims. Sheikh Fawzan said, such as, he gives examples, he said, such as making dua, supplicating, invoking other than Allah, calling for aid upon other than Allah, with regard to that which only Allah is capable of, calling upon the dead or other than them. If he does so, then he becomes a disbeliever on account of that. Because it is dua, it is supplication to other than Allah. Or that he speaks with speech containing mockery of the religion, or of the book, or of the sunnah. He the Most High said, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوذُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th Surah, Ayah 65. With the explanation, and when you ask them, then they say, we were only talking and playing. Say, is it at Allah and His signs and His messenger that you were mocking? The ayah. In this ayah, ayah 65, and the next ayah, ayah 66. Sheikh Fawzan said, so the person who mocks the sunnah or the Qur'an becomes a disbeliever. Even if he was only joking, if he was not forced, if he was not forced and compelled against his will to do so. He the Most High said, giving evidence for the second part, he said, He the Most High said, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ قَلْبُهُ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ Surah An-Nahl, the 16th Surah, Ayah 106. With explanation, whoever said a word of disbelief after having believed, except for one who is forced against his will, whilst his heart remained firm upon Iman. And that is the exception. Sheikh Fawzan said, as for one who said this by choice, then he becomes a disbeliever. But it says it was a mockery of the book, of the sunnah. He's not been forced by someone else, compelled, forced to say it. Says it by choice, he becomes a disbeliever. Then Sheikh Fawzan mentions the second category of things which break a person's Islam. Second category, second kind, he said, actions. The second is al-fi'l, actions. such as performing sacrifice for other than Allah, or making a vow for other than Allah, or making sajda, prostration, to other than Allah, such as prostrating to a tomb. This is an action. Then he mentions the third category. He said, or belief in the heart. The third category of things which break a person's Islam, beliefs in the heart, the Shaykh said, such as believing the correctness of kufr, believing that this belief, kufr, is correct. Or the correctness, believing the correctness of whatever the disbelievers are upon. Such as the person who believes that what the Jews and the Christians are upon is correct after the sending of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the fourth category, things which break a person's Islam, which I've said before, or he doubts. He said, such as his doubting about the Quran. Is it correct or is it not correct? Is this ayah correct or is it not correct? Then this person becomes a disbeliever and Allah's refuge is sought. Or he doubts with regard to that which is authentic from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the ahadith. He said, these are the fundamentals, these are the roots of ridda, of apostasy. Sayings, or actions, or beliefs, or doubt. And then many different types of nullifiers of Islam, which the scholars have mentioned, spring from these four types. And Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, has summarized them in a treatise, in a risala, a treatise, where he mentioned 10 things which nullify, from the most dangerous of them and the most serious. However, the nawaqid, those things that break a person's Islam, are many, and are mentioned in the chapter of Hukm al-Murtad. They're mentioned in the chapter of the ruling of the apostate, in the books of fiqh. He said, he's saying, أَوْ يَزِيدَ فِي كَلَامِ اللَّهِ أَوْ يَنْقُصَ, or that he adds something to the speech of Allah, or takes something away. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he adds an ayah, or a single letter, in the book of Allah, or takes away a letter, or an ayah from the book, from the speech of Allah. This person disbelieves. This person becomes a disbeliever on Allah's refuge is sought, because he is one who is distorting the speech of Allah, altering the speech of Allah, the mighty and majestic. So the Quran, all of it is true, and all of it is just as it was when it came down to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has not been altered, nor has it been changed, and it is preserved by Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And no one is able to alter it. However, whoever attempts to, then he becomes a disbeliever. And he exits from Islam. And the Quran will never be altered, because it is preserved by Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. He said this point here, what he refers to is a person who tries to alter the Quran, tries to put an extra word or letter into it, tries to take a word or letter out, or the like. As for being able to do so, then they will not be able to do so. But even trying to do that is disbelief. Then he said, he's saying, أَوْ يُنْكِرَ شَيْئًا مِمَّا قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَوْ شَيْئًا مِمَّا تَكَلَّمْ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ, or that he denies anything from that which Allah the Mighty Majestic has said, or anything from that which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke with. He said, or he denies anything from the Quran, that he says this is not suitable for this time. Or about the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, this is not this was suitable for past times, but this is not suitable for today's civilization. Meaning therefore that the Quran and Sunnah were only for previous ages, or rather they're only for a time which has passed, and for times that have passed by. And it is not suitable for us today. The Shaykh said, this person becomes a disbeliever, and Allah's refuge is sought. And whoever says the like of that, the Quran, or this ayah of the Quran, it was suitable for a previous time when it came down. Suitable for them, but it's not suitable now. Or a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's applicable in a previous time, or in previous ages, but now it's not applicable. The Shaykh said, this person becomes a disbeliever of Allah's refuge is sought. And he said, and there are many who say that the rulings of the Islamic legislation are not suitable for this time and do not apply to this time, not applicable to this time. This is kufr. This is kufrun sarih. This is clear disbelief. Shaykh said, so if a hadith is authentic from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is not permissible to criticize it, or that it be said, this is suitable, or this is it's not permissible to say, this is not suitable for this time. He said, he's saying, فَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ, so fear and be dutiful to Allah, have taqwa of Allah. The Shaykh said, fear and be dutiful to Allah, such that nothing from these matters occurs within yourself, such that you then exit from your religion. Fear and be dutiful to Allah with regard to yourself, and don't regard yourself as being praiseworthy, pure and praiseworthy, or don't feel secure about your religion. Do not feel secure about your religion, safe and secure. Don't feel like that. You don't feel that your religion is safe. You don't need to worry about yourself. You're okay. Don't feel like that. He said, he's saying, وَانْظُرْ لِنَفْسِكَ, and look to yourself. Sheikh Fawzan said, look to yourself and don't look towards the people and to what the people are upon. Look towards your own soul, your own self. He the Most High said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, Ayah 105, with explanation. O you who believe, be upon obedience to Allah yourselves, then you will not be harmed by the misguidance of those who go astray. Sheikh Fawzan said, do not say, all of the people are upon this thing. Rather look to yourself, save yourself. The people, if they do not accept the truth, then leave them. People, leave them if they do not accept the truth. Rather, you should remain firm upon it, and do not be deceived by what the people are upon. He said, he's saying, وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْغُلُوَ فِي الدِّينِ, and beware of ghulu, beware of extremism, going beyond the limits in the religion. Sheikh Fawzan said, this is another aspect. Since a person may exit the religion in one of two ways, and he mentions the two ways that a person may go out, may leave the religion. He said, either by abandoning it, or abandoning something from it, detaching himself from it. And the second way, or by ghulu, by going beyond the limits and excessive harshness. Tashaddud, extremism. So departing from the religion comes about either by tasahul, either by laxity, falling short, or by tashaddud, by excessiveness, over harshness. So upon you is moderation between over laxity and between over harshness. And this is what the Messenger وسلم, and his companions were upon. And ghulu, going beyond the limits, causes a person, may cause a person to go out from the religion. Just as it did, just as it caused the Khawarij to exit. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said with regard to them, يَمْرُقُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ كَمَا يَمْرُقُ السَّهْمُ مِنَ الرَّمِيَّةِ, that they shoot out from the religion just as an arrow fires straight through the hunted animal. In a footnote they mention this hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. You'll find it there in the Sahih of al-Bukhari, it's hadith 3344, and Muslim, it's hadith 1064, from a hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Fawzan said, so al-Ghulu, going beyond the limits, extremism, can cause a person to exit the religion. Then he clarifies that, he said, either exiting totally to disbelief, or partial exiting in accordance with the level of what occurs from him. It may cause a person to exit the religion totally, to go out of the religion altogether and to go into disbelief, to be a disbeliever, or to partially go out in accordance with the level of what he has done. Then he said, and going beyond al-ghulu, and going beyond the limits in the religion, may be in worship, ibadah, such as the excessiveness of the Christians in monasticism, and such as those who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking about his deeds. So when they were informed, it is as if they thought that they were slight, as if they thought that what he did was something small. They thought the actions of the Messenger was something slight. However, they said, the Messenger, all of his previous and later sins have been forgiven, i.e., therefore he was in no need of a great amount of action. So when the Prophet ﷺ came to know about that, he became severely angry when he came to know what they had said, these people. And he ﷺ gave a khutbah, he gave an address, and he said, أَمَا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَأَتْقَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَإِنِّي أُصَلِّي وَأَنَامُ. The hadith that he said, indeed, by Allah, I am the one amongst you who is most fearful to Allah, and the one who is most dutiful to Allah, and yet, and I pray, and I sleep. Shaykh Fawzan said, because one of them, one of those people who came, one of them had said, I will pray and not sleep. And the second one had said, I will fast and I will not desist from fasting. He's going to fast his whole lifetime. And the third one said, I will not marry women. He's going to remain celibate and occupy himself totally with worship. So therefore he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أَمَا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَخْشَاكُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَأَتْقَاكُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَإِنِّي مُصَلِّي وَأَنَامُ وَأَصُومُ وَأُفْطِرُ وَأَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءِ فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. He therefore, صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, by Allah, I am the one amongst you who is most fearful of Allah, and the one from amongst you who is most dutiful to Allah, and I pray and I sleep, and I fast and I desist from fasting, and I marry women. I marry women. So whoever turns away from my sunnah, then he is not from me. The hadith, as I mentioned in the footnote, is a hadith of Anas ibn Malik, who said three men, and they give the follow wording, that three men, and I'll mention it quickly inshallah, three men came to the houses of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking about the worship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when they were informed, it is as if they thought that it was a slight amount. So they said, yet where are we with regard to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah has forgiven him his earlier and later sins? So one of them said, as for me, then I will pray throughout the whole night, always. And another one said, I will fast all of the time and never stop or never desist from fasting. You never miss a day. And the other one said, I will keep away from the women and I will never get married. So therefore Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and said, you are the people who said such and such and such and such. Indeed, by Allah, I am the one amongst you who is most fearful towards Allah and the one who is most dutiful to Him. However, I fast and I desist from fasting, and I pray and I sleep and I marry women. So whoever turns away from my sunnah, then he is not from me. The hadith reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 5063, and Muslim in Sahih as hadith 1401. And this wording is that of Muslim. Then Sheikh Lozan said, and in one narration there occurs that one of them said, I will not eat meat. So therefore he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, and I eat meat, and whoever turns away from my sunnah, then he is not from me. In a footnote they mention this wording here is reported by Muslim, and indeed you'll find it there, reported by Muslim with this wording as hadith 1401. Contrary to what I said some time ago, I didn't notice it with this wording, but there it is, it's there in Sahih Muslim, alhamdulillah. Hadith 1401 from Anas radiallahu anhu, that some people from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and asked the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his deeds, which he did secretly. So some of them therefore said, I will not marry women. And some of them said, and I will not eat meat. And some of them said, and I will not sleep upon a bed. So therefore, he, meaning Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he praised Allah and repeated words of praise upon him and said, what is wrong with some people who say such and such and such and such? However, I pray and I sleep and I fast and I desist from fasting. I pray and I sleep and I fast and I desist from fasting and I marry women. So whoever turns away from my sunnah, then he is not from me. Hadith reported by Muslim and also reported by An-Nasa'i. Sheikh Lozan finished here by saying, they were intending to do good. However, the intent is not sufficient. Rather, there must be, along with the intent, ittiba, following the sunnah. There must be ittiba or sunnah, following the sunnah, along with the intent and with the righteous intention. As for a righteous intention without ittiba, without following the sunnah, then that will not benefit the person. Alhamdulillah and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.